Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Second Take. Today, I am here with Roland, and we're going to be going over an NBA award, not MVP award, one that has definitely caught some steam recently in the Defensive Player of the Year race. And then following that, we're going to go over some NFL free agency news, talking about who we think won NFL free agency so far, and if it's going to make a difference for any of these teams that made some major moves. And so we're going to jump right into it. And Roland, you mentioned to me this Defensive Player of the Year race was interesting to you in terms of who's probably going to win it, but versus people who maybe should get some more consideration. What were your thoughts on that Defensive Player of the Year race?
The Defensive Player of the Year race is summed up by who will actually win the award, aka who the media is comfortable voting for, versus who deserves to win. Okay. So you got who will win versus who deserves to. Currently, Rudy Gobert is the front runner for DPOY, averaging 13 rebounds a game, which is second in the NBA, 2.1 blocks, a half a steal, and a defensive rating of 104. Right. All very honorable statistics for a DPOY candidate, for a DPOY front runner. This is more of the same that we see from Rudy. Right. We've seen this before. He's already won the award three times in the past. And the biggest reason why he's going to win the award is because his team is having a successful year. Minnesota is currently the best defensive team in the NBA. If you want to know a little bit more about that discussion, check out our previous video on Minnesota. And they're currently third place in the West, right? They are overachieving compared to where most people thought they would be coming into this season. I believe that's fair to say. Now, I think the player that deserves to win is Victor Wembanyama. I know they're the worst team in the NBA. I know they're actively tanking. I know this, that. I know that he's a rookie. I know all of those things. And I know that the media is not going to vote for him because they don't have the cojones. They don't have the huevos. They don't have the balls. But this guy is putting up numbers that a my player in 2K does during your my career. Okay. 3.5 blocks a game, 1.3 steals a game, and a 107 defensive rating, higher than Rudy's. Okay. This guy is the best defender in the NBA, and he's only 19 years old. And I think the award should go to the best defender. Whether or not his team is actively sabotaging his season should be besides the point. So if you're asking me who the media is going to vote for, put your money on Rudy Gobert. If you're asking me who I think should actually win the award, give me the dude who's putting up video game numbers and makes it look and is the best defender I've actually ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, to be fair to your argument, I remember seeing a lot this year. Because the biggest reason why Rudy is most likely going to win Defensive Player of the Year is because he's the best defensive player on the best defensive team, and the type of impact he has on that team in terms of on and off numbers and all that is crazy. But Victor Wembanyama, literally the Spurs are the best defensive team in the NBA when he's on the court, and they are one of the worst. I think it's 25th when he's off the court. And so that right there is a big indicator of what type of defender Wemby is, to literally make the Spurs good at defense just by being on the court. I mean, he takes everything to a whole nother level. Like this, if you're talking about in the next few years here, we might end up seeing a type of defensive impact that has never been seen before. And we talk about guys like Rudy Gobert, old Dwight Howard, what the Magic is. If you have him, you're guaranteed to have a top 10 defense, no matter who's on your team. Basically, with Victor, it may end up being, you know, in the future, if they just start getting a better team, that you're guaranteed to have a top 5 defense, you know, with this guy, just because he can cover so much that other people just can't, just because of his size and athleticism. No one else can just match that physically, and he's clearly a smart dude. So as crazy as it sounds, I do think there is an argument for Victor to win Defensive Player of the Year. The biggest problem with me is I don't want to reward the Spurs. Nothing against Victor. I don't want to reward the Spurs for tanking. And that's why I would want to give it to at least a better team. Because like Rudy is still having a Defensive Player of the Year caliber season, but I just don't think, like, it's just the Spurs are trying to lose, man. Like, yeah, I know it's an individual award, but have we ever seen like a really bad team win an individual award besides a Rookie of the Year? I can't really think of any.
No, I mean, team success plays a huge role in every single one of these awards, whether it be MVP, Sixth Man, Coach of the Year, you know, all NBA teams. Even though last year we had a couple of teams and players that didn't even make the playoffs make all NBA. Mm-hmm. I just hate the fact that Rudy Gobert is going to win another Defensive Player of the Year, even though his defensive issues are glaring when it comes postseason time. I mean, I'm a Utah Jazz fan, right? I was there for peak Rudy Gobert. I was there when Terrence Mann went for 40 on him by sitting in the corner. You know what I mean? Rudy Gobert, outside of guarding 15 feet from the basket, he can't guard anybody past 15 feet. He can't slide laterally, you know? And to be fair, on the team that he currently plays for, he doesn't need to. He's got two outstanding perimeter defenders, and he doesn't have to do as much. I just look at Victor, and what can't he do on defense? If he gets blown by, it doesn't matter. He'll block the shot anyway. You know what I mean? He's a lot more active. He's a lot more athletic. He has a higher defensive rating. He has a bigger impact on his team when he actually plays. The only reason why his stats aren't better is because he only plays 25 minutes a game. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Rudy's going to win the award. And he's deserving of it if you don't have Victor Wembanyama in the picture. But with Victor being in the picture, it shouldn't be this complicated to give it to the best defensive player on the planet. I don't get it, you know.
I also do think, though, because it's a good point that Adrian Wojnarowski has brought up before, that this Defensive Player of the Year award going forward in the future might be going for a dominant run that even voter fatigue can't fight against in terms of Victor winning this award going forward. Because let's be honest, if the Spurs are any type of competent next year and Victor's healthy, this award becomes his. And, you know, we have guys like Rudy probably going to win a fourth. Dwight Howard won. I think Dwight Howard won four as well.
There's three or four. I believe
three
it's three
or four. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all in a row, you know, and Victor Wembanyama may get that within his first 5 years in the NBA. And it might just be a stretch that doesn't stop where they might have to rename the award off of him, like to the Victor Wembanyama Defensive Player of the Year award. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised about that. So honestly, if anything, it might be like the inverse of a voter fatigue situation. Kind of like you said, where everyone is like, okay, look, we see what's happening. We know he's great now. We're going to hold off just a little bit until everyone gets sick of seeing this guy win the award.
I just hate how narratives play such a huge role in winning awards. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with MVP. You never just give it to the best player. There's always got to be some sort of, oh, you know, let's give it to this guy because he's doing something cool.
Yeah.
You know, we're punishing players for being consistently great. Right. LeBron never won a DPOY when he probably should have won a couple in Miami. Big reason why that was is because, oh, he's just going to win the MVP. Let's give it to Marc Gasol. You know what I mean?
Well, what was it? Won it. It was either Marc Gasol or Tyson Chandler won it while being on second team all defense, which was kind of funny.
Marc Gasol was on third team or second team all defense. And just it's I hate the award narratives that have to go on in the especially in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NFL is starting to kind of go that route. But the NBA has been riddled with narrative MVPs, narrative DPOIs, rather than who actually deserves it because they're the best at what they do.
It's funny, too, because when you bring up that Wemby should be Defensive Player of the Year, it's extremely hard to argue against because by definition of what a Defensive Player of the Year should be and what they are, he matches all of those things. And Rudy also matches all of those things. But all of Wemby's like numbers and impact are theoretically better and greater than Rudy's. So it's not even to like take away from Rudy in a way. It's like, because like you said, like we've been used to seeing this from him. We kind of have an idea of what he is, but Victor's just been a step above that. Like,
yeah,
we've been talking about how he's a better prospect than anyone else who's ever come into the NBA, like except for maybe LeBron. And, you know, he's hitting those expectations right now. And, you know, we can't really be surprised that he's matching those, to be honest.
Well, he is. It's not even like a close statistical barrier.
Yeah.
Right. It's 3.5 compared to 2 blocks a game. Victor's almost blocking shots. He's blocking 50% more shots than Rudy Gobert is.
Mm-hmm.
He's stealing the ball twice as often. Right. And he has a better defensive rating. Right. It's not like they're close, statistically speaking. Victor is significantly better. The only thing with Victor is they're trying to lose, like you said. That's really the only thing. Other than that, if they were at all close to a playoff spot, a play-in, you know, if they were 10th in the West, this would be his award. It's just the mere fact that they're tanking. For how long will they be doing that? Hopefully never again.
This year.
I just want to see this guy in a playoff series.
Yeah, the Spurs have to take him out of games in order to lose.
Exactly. Because
sometimes he's going to lead them to a win they're not ready for that yet. Because they're going to have, I think, at least their own pick this year. But I think they might have Toronto's pick as long as it's not. It's either top 5 or top 6 protected. So they have a chance to have 2 top 10 picks in this year's draft. Take advantage of that now and then build your team after this year. You don't have to try to lose again for a minute. So, I mean, that would be a benefit to them. The only thing I saw from Victor this year that looked bad defensively was when Joel dropped 70 on him. But to be fair, it is Joel and he would probably do that to anyone else.
Whatever, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to everyone. All the best players get scored on at some point, right?
Are we gonna say Drew Holiday is not a good defender because Jimmy Butler torched him in the playoffs?
Well, exactly. I mean, Jokic has gone off against Gobert
plenty of times.
We're not gonna say like how many guys would realistically guard Jokic better than Gobert. There's not many.
Nobody. So it's nobody's gonna guard.
So it's like,
and Embiid's one of those dudes that you don't guard. You know what I mean? You just can't. You got to bring 2 guys. Jokic, exactly. Same thing.
Yeah, just make them pass if you don't want them to score.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I think Wemby has a fantastic argument, and it's so hard to argue against. He's not going to win it this year.
No,
but, he's not going to. I think he might get second team all defense just because his numbers are so good. So at least I think he will still get recognized, which he should. But, you know,
is there really anyone else in this conversation?
The thing is, no, not really. I mean, you're not going to give it to Draymond. You're probably not going to give it to Bam. So it's like, even the people behind Rudy, there's kind of a gap there too this year. So, I mean, Victor is kind of in the conversation ahead of these guys who've won the award before, who've been on all defensive teams just as a 20-year-old rookie. So
it just sucks because Victor Wembanyama is having one of the best defensive seasons of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just not going to award that because, one, he's going to win it in the future, so why do we have to give it to him now? And two, he's a rookie, you know, and three, his team's actively trying to tank.
Yep.
That none of those things are in his control, you know what I mean? But is in his control, he is performing exceptionally well. And you're going to, it's like going to an employee and saying, you know what? It's just not your time for the promotion. I know you're the best at what you do, but this other guy, he's got a better team around him. And
his department makes more money than yours. His department's
making a little bit more money than yours. I'm sorry that your department sucks and you're actually better than the other guy. But we're going to give the promotion to the dude that's been there longer, even though you're better than the guy that you're competing against. Yeah, hey, how would you feel?
That's a good analogy.
You said you're too young to get the promotion, even though you're the best at what you do.
Oh, exactly. You'd be pissed.
You'd be quit so mad. And go start your own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You already know how good you are, so you don't need to be held back by anyone else. But so, you think if he's having a historic defensive year this year, oh, just wait. Just wait till next year, man. Even just next year. It's just
wait till he starts playing 35 minutes a game. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then at that point, the Spurs, no matter who else they have on their team, they're going to be good at defense because he's playing 10 more minutes a game than he was before. So they're going to be winning more. Their defense, their numbers just as a whole are going to look better. So, you know, he might not win this year, but the dominance is coming and it's already started, especially the second half of the season. So,
yeah, definitely living up to the hype.
Okay, so next thing we're going to do, we're going to move on to the NFL free agency news. Roland, what has been your biggest winner of free agency so far? It's still early. Some guys still out there. But so far, who's your biggest winner?
All right. So the team that has had the best free agency so far is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ah, you know what? I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I know the Bears are swinging for the fences. They acquired Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, all in preparation for Caleb Williams, right? So they're an exciting, they went from zero to hero. And a lot of people will argue that they have had the best free agency because they're trying to rebuild. They're trying to turn it all around in one move. And honestly, I wouldn't hate that take. You know, we've also got the running back carousel of running backs just swapping teams, which probably won't matter. But let's be honest here. If the team that has recently won back-to-back Super Bowl championships improves their roster, they win free agency. Because it matters more to them than any other team. Right? The Bears ain't going to win a Super Bowl within the next... They ain't going to win this year. I'm just hate to break it to you. You know what I mean? The Chiefs got the Chandler Jones deal done. That's what they needed to do. I would have argued if they would have just done that, they still would have won him free agency because he's that important. He's now the best defensive player in the league now that Aaron Donald's retired. Okay. Him and TJ Watt. So they got that done. They also acquired Hollywood Brown, which was the one glaring weakness that this team had all year last year, was their receiving core. Who was going to actually catch the football outside of Travis Kelce? Well, now they've got another weapon for Patrick Mahomes. So some might say that the trade involving L'Jarius Sneed was kind of a setback. He was a good corner, but I think that opening up flexibility to sign other more important pieces or acquiring other positions was the right move. So they haven't really missed. They got better. They not only kept Chandler Jones, but they got better on the offensive side of the ball. So all in all, the Chiefs keep on winning. The Super Bowl champs just got better.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of what Kansas City did in this offseason, right? You mentioned Chris Jones re-signed a five-year deal, $158 million contract, brought in Hollywood Brown 1 year, $11 million. So they got probably the best defensive lineman in all of football back on their team. He was the most important player on that defense. So that was huge for them. Marquise Brown, maybe he's not a 1A receiver, but he had 1,000 yards with the Cardinals last year. Like, let's not act like this guy isn't good, you know? Chiefs didn't even have a guy who had 1,000 yards. So that's going to be big for them, adding him to Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce, just to give Mahomes more options. And I know they lost, like you said, Legarius Sneed, traded him to the Titans. But the Chiefs, historically, they don't pay cornerbacks. So that's just, it's not what they do. They're not paying these corners big money. They usually just let them walk or trade them off like this. And by doing this, they also open up a little bit more cap space. So they still have a chance to go out and add to this team and add to this free agency class, whether it's before or after the draft happens. So this team has a lot going for them. They also signed, that punter, Matt Ariza, who was basically banned from the NFL, you know, quote unquote banned. But I guess so his accusations ended up being false of all the sexual assault stuff. So he's back in the NFL after it turns out he didn't do what he was accused of. And he was a baller before he got cut. So even adding a better punter to that team is only going to help them out when they actually do need to punt, because it's not like they do all the time. So I can't disagree that this is for sure one of the best free agency classes this year. And this makes a difference for them because now it's going to be even harder for teams to catch them if their offense goes back to what we're used to seeing, or just like a version of that, even if it's not quite the same.
They basically came out and did what a title defending team needs to do in free agency. You can't just run it back.
Yeah, you usually aren't good enough, yeah.
If you're not getting better, you are getting worse because everyone else is going to be pushing to get better. That's why, you know, the players of today are better than they were 20 years ago in terms of being how fast they are, how skilled they are, right? That's just human evolution. Human nature is to always be getting better. So they got better in a big way. They got a receiver that could be their number one for this season, right? He's not, like you said, a top 15, top 10 receiver, but he ain't no scrub. And Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't need a Tyreek Hill. As we've seen, he's won 2 Super Bowls without the dude. So they just got better, and I don't think any other move swings the pendulum for a team like these moves do for the Chiefs. Because the pendulum was already in their favor. It's just basically adding icing on the cake.
Yep. You described their situation perfectly. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse is kind of the biggest thing that teams who win the Super Bowl or any sport, any championship should really be taking away. Keeping the core together is important, but adding to that core can make loads and loads of difference. They're probably already, I mean, at this point, look like easy favorites for next year. I mean, to be determined on some other moves here, but I don't know if there's anything big enough that will make a difference to make someone else the favorite over the 2-time defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
Nope.
Okay. And then, so something I want to do next, there are a couple teams that caught my eye in free agency, and I'll go over some of the moves they make, and I want you to tell me if you think these moves will make a difference for them or not next season. So we're going to start off with a team you already mentioned, made some moves, the Chicago Bears. So the Chicago Bears got rid of Justin Fields, traded him away for some draft capital. They signed running back DeAndre Swift from the Eagles. People have mixed feelings on him, but he is talented. They brought in Keenan Allen from the Chargers after he refused to take a pay cut for a 4th-round pick.
Wonderful.
Some other moves. Oh, yeah. They traded for a offensive lineman, Ryan Bates. They signed Gerald Everett, a tight end. They re-signed Jalen Johnson, who is a super underrated cornerback. And then they signed Kevin Byard, safety, to a 2-year deal, who was on the Eagles to end the year, traded him after he started in Tennessee. Do you think that the moves they've made this offseason will make a difference for them next year or not?
I do. If there were a team outside of the Chiefs, the Bears probably would have had the most successful offseason, in my opinion. The only thing about this is you are really putting all your eggs in the Caleb Williams basket. If he doesn't pan out, if he doesn't, you know, have a CJ Stroud-esque season, it's going to look like you missed the mark, because there's no excuse for this dude now, right? They went all in. They're preparing for what people are saying is a once-in-a-generation talent, even though that happens every 3 or 4 years, so whatever. And if he misses the mark, it's on Caleb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love all these moves. I think if Caleb is as good as everyone's saying he is, they have a chance at a playoff run, much like what happened with Houston. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a swing in the right direction.
Yeah, and the thing I really liked that Chicago did is, opposed to Carolina, they're learning from what Carolina messed up as, because they're not going to be throwing Caleb Williams into a crappy situation where he basically has no chance to succeed. They actually are putting pieces around him, giving him, you know, upgrading their defense so their defense is better, giving him weapons. I mean, they already had DJ Moore come in from last year who was good. He's going to be back again this year, right? So, like, he's going to have weapons, and like you said, so it will be more so on him if this doesn't work out, but he has the team to be successful around him, which actually I think is also in the Chicago Bears' favor, because if Caleb Williams doesn't work out, at least they can bring in somebody else who's decent, exactly. And they can be a good team. So even if Williams isn't the star we all thought he was, at least their team is going to be competent and give whatever quarterback they have a chance, as long as they are at minimum a game manager. And if Caleb Williams is the superstar we think he can be, this team has built themselves a very solid foundation for the future.
Yeah, exactly. They basically went all, like you said, it took the pressure off the front office. It's now on Caleb. And that's what you got to do if you're a GM, right? You want the pressure off of you. You want to say, hey, look, this is all that I did for this dude. He's the problem. It ain't me. So, hey, wonderful offseason for Chicago. Everyone in Chicago should be excited for the first time in quite a long time.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Caleb Williams has a chance to be the best Bears QB ever, even if he's not the star we think he is, because that's how bad their QBs have been.
They historically suck, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that would just be a win for them in general. Okay, so the next team that I want to talk about that definitely caught my eye, the Tennessee Titans. So they fired their coach, Mike Vrabel. He was a pretty good coach. Everyone thought of him as a great coach. They fired him. A little confusing. But since then, so they had Will Levis, who had a good rookie season, played well the second half of the year, connected really well with DeAndre Hopkins. They signed Mason Rudolph as his backup. They brought in Tony Pollard. After Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore from Dallas. So he's a lot younger, different style of runner, though, not the same type of player for sure. They play very differently. They brought in Calvin Ridley in a crazy bidding war. They upgraded their offensive line. They brought in an offensive guard. They brought in the center from Denver. And then they traded for Legarius Sneed from the Chiefs. They gave up a third round pick for that. And they brought in a new kicker, Nick Folk, who's been in the NFL for a minute. Do you think these moves will matter for Tennessee next year or not?
Seven wins?
So about the same type of team as last year?
You know what I mean? That's how I look at them. I look at them as, you know, 7-10, 8-9, miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Be a decent team, be competitive. Like, they're not going to be a team that opponents can just say, oh, that's an automatic win. It's a bye week, you know, but it's mostly how good can Will Levis be. If Will Levis is great, this team can compete in their division. Their division's a lot better than we thought than I thought they were going to be. You know, Houston's not a joke anymore. Indianapolis is always kind of right on that 8-9, 9-8 bubble. And then Jacksonville, same deal. I feel like they kind of shoo themselves in to the conversation of, hey, we're just as good as everybody else in the division. You know what I mean? So 7-8 wins. This doesn't swing them as a playoff team or make them like a legit threat in any way, but it does make them more competitive.
Yeah. So, I mean, the two biggest things for me when I'm looking at this is they were willing to go out and spend a lot of money to the point where they might have overpaid a little bit for some guys. I mean, especially Calvin Ridley. He got a lot of money.
I don't like that move. He wasn't expected
to get. I mean, like, he's a nice player to have, and it definitely helps to have him with Will Levis, but, you know, paid him a lot of money. They brought in Snead, who's really good, but they gave him a big extension already. And like you said, I think that as opposed to the free agency moves, the thing that will matter more is Will Levis's development. If Will Levis becomes a good player, or a star even, then, you know, all of these moves are going to look great when it's more so a Will Levis thing. Because the thing was, even if Will Levis got better and they didn't make all these moves, the team would still be good because he was good, kind of a deal. So, I mean, it is a test for Will Levis. They are giving him a chance to succeed. They aren't leaving him out to dry like the Panthers have done with Bryce Young. As you can tell, I think the Panthers have just done absolutely fantastic with that guy. So, you know, I don't think it moves the needle too much for them next year. It might be more so of a future thing for them, but I do kind of agree with you. They just kind of kept themselves competitive for the short term.
I like the Tony Pollard move to get a younger running back in there who's talented. I like the defensive acquisitions. I do not like how they fired their head coach.
Yeah,
won a coach of the year just a couple years ago. And I do not like how they overpaid for Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is not this exceptional wide receiver. He's
like,
who would you rather have? Hollywood Brown or Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's like Hollywood Brown level, but he got significantly more money and a longer term contract than Hollywood Brown.
So on one hand, Tennessee did a couple of things right. On the other hand, they did a couple wrong. So that's why I look at it as just a net neutral offseason for them. A lot of moving parts that's ultimately probably not going to get them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, 7-8 wins, very similar to last year.
Okay.
The biggest thing you hope for is Will Levis can actually develop because he has some veteran pieces around him.
Yeah, he definitely has some upside, and that's going to be the most exciting part of the team and the biggest thing to watch for them, because if they find a franchise guy, they know they can start going all in, start building even more specifically around his skill set, but they don't know if they have that yet. So,
yeah.
Okay, and then the next team, I think this one is the most intriguing just based on we still have no idea what to expect of this team based off of what happened last year, is the New York Jets. So they still have Zach Wilson. Apparently he's either going to be cut or be traded at some point. You would assume Aaron Rodgers, after all that talk of maybe coming back late in the year, will be ready by training camp and healthy to play this season after missing all of last year with the torn Achilles. And the Jets have brought in Tyrod Taylor, who is a actually good backup quarterback, because Zach Wilson will not be there by the time the season starts. So if Aaron Rodgers still doesn't work out, they do have Tyrod Taylor. They brought in Mike Williams, who the Chargers cut, a one-year $15 million deal. They signed two offensive linemen, John Simpson. They signed Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys. I believe he's their left tackle, one-year $20 million deal. And they traded for Morgan Moses, another tackle from the Baltimore Ravens. And their offensive line sucked last year. They brought in three of those dudes this year. On the defensive end, they mostly just filled some small holes here and there, kept the guys they needed to. But this was another team that really stood out to me in free agency with the moves they make, definitely making some big win now moves. Do you think these moves will make a difference for this team next season?
They will. Simply just having Aaron Rodgers back will make a huge difference. So this next season will go a lot better than last year, just based off of that. So I like all of the moves. None of them jump out as alarming. You know what I mean?
Short term.
Yeah, they didn't overpay for anybody. Just get rid of Zach Wilson, and you're good to go. I love the Tyrod Taylor backup. He's a talented backup. He can get you through a stint, and you can keep the boat afloat, you know what I mean, with him as your backup quarterback if Aaron Rodgers does go down with another injury or whatever. Mike Williams, that one's probably the most questionable in my opinion. Talented, always injured.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they necessarily need him. It's kind of like a cherry on top acquisition. He's not the number one receiver. It's just getting a little bit more talent at the wide receiver position for Aaron Rodgers when Garrett Wilson's the number one dude there, right? They have Breece Hall. They already have talent on the offensive side of the ball. So he really is just kind of like icing on the cake. If he's healthy, great. We're going to be that much more explosive. If he's not, I don't know if they need him, right? So nothing is alarming.
Yeah, that's actually that's actually a big reason why I liked the Mike Williams signing, though, is the fact that they probably don't need him necessarily, but if he works out, he's going to be a great addition to that team. Because like you said, Wilson's the number one guy, but Williams is the number two guy. I mean, they brought in a bunch of Aaron Rodgers type receivers this last year, and a lot of those guys weren't really that great necessarily. I mean, maybe part of it was because Zach Wilson was their quarterback all year, but I mean, Mike Williams is just a talent upgrade for them, and it's only a one-year deal. So, I mean, if he is hurt and it doesn't work out, you just let him walk at the end of the year. But, I mean, if it does work out and you like him, you can keep him around for a minute. Just gives Aaron Rodgers another guy to throw it to. My favorite thing about this team, though, is that they upgraded their offensive line, because that was – I know we criticized this team a lot for not running the ball more and having Zach Wilson throw 40 passes a game, which is insane. But to be fair, their offensive line last year – was awful, so bad. And even if Aaron Rodgers was there, it might not have gone the greatest. And especially Tyron Smith, who's been one of the best tackles in the NFL for a while, that's a big move. So I think just getting those offensive linemen is really going to help out a lot, especially having a older Aaron Rodgers to make sure he doesn't go down.
Yep.
And then getting that insurance policy in Tyrod Taylor. I think the Jets are going to be a slept on team next year based on what happened this year, because their defense was amazing. And they just need, you know, so a little bit Aaron Rodgers, you know, a little bit of line play. This team has a chance still. They're not completely out. If Rodgers is any type of good, they have a chance.
They're officially in a three-team race for the division. Right? They won 7 wins last year with me as their quarterback. And their defense is still going to be great. So they're going to be 10-plus wins. That's a three-win swing at bare minimum just by adding all of these solid pieces with Aaron Rodgers coming back. So I'm not going to say that they're definitively going to win because they're the Jets, and something always goes wrong with the Jets.
Exactly.
Right? So, but they could have a Detroit Lions-esque season, right, where this year Detroit came out, won the division, caught fire, looked like one of the best teams in the NFL, made it all the way to the conference championship game. The Jets could have a very similar year to what Detroit had, only in a very different way, right? They're not going to have an explosive offense like that, but they have a stellar defense and offensive weapons. So I look at them as, like what you were saying, a sleeper team that can win their division and potentially make a run at a conference championship game.
100% agree with that. And like you said, the biggest thing that might hold them back is just the fact that they're the Jets.
They're the Jets. They're cursed.
That's just what happens. Sorry, Jets fans. Must suck sometimes, but maybe you guys will get a little bit of hope, a little bit of light this year. And Aaron Rodgers' career on a high note. Roland, was there anything else from free agency that stood out to you?
No, I mean, the running back carousel, will it matter? Probably not. That's all I mean... You got Austin Eckler going to Washington, Saquon going to the Eagles, Henry going to Baltimore. Is Henry going to run the ball in Baltimore? I mean, Lamar just runs it every time. So I thought it was interesting how pretty much every running back just got traded or moved away from their team. And So I don't know.
Yeah, they all just got passed around. A bunch of guys got replaced. Some teams got some guys. If it doesn't make that big of a difference for these teams that did add a running back, the running back contract value is going to go down even more significantly. And you just kind of have to wonder how important the running back position is becoming if you're not Christian McCaffrey.
Exactly. So running backs might go even further down into the abyss of importance. And the one other acquisition is Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. You know, that division has been really bad for the past couple of years. Does that put them as the team to beat in that division, in your opinion, or is it still just wide open?
So I think they are now the best. I think them and the Bucks are kind of similar, to be honest. I think talent-wise, they have the most talent. I like that they got a good quarterback. I don't like how much money they gave Kirk Cousins coming off of an Achilles, being his age, being he has one playoff win in his career, and he's like 35 already. But he is good, and we know he's good at worst. We don't know how high their ceiling is with him, but it does up the ceiling of basically all their first-round picks they've used. The last 4 years that Arthur Smith refused to use. I mean, they have Bijan Robinson, they have Drake London, they have Kyle Pitts. You would think all those guys are actually going to get offensive touches now, which was not the case before for whatever reason. So that will make this team a good football team. It's just how good can they be in the postseason with Kirk Cousins has always been his question. So as of right now, I think it's safe to assume it's not going to do much for them and that he's their transition, their like transition quarterback. But it helps them, and I think they can be better than Tampa Bay. It's really between them and Tampa Bay in that division.
Yeah, they can win the division. Mm-hmm. They have the best quarterback in the division, and they have the most offensive talent now that you know, Tampa Bay's just getting older.
Yeah.
Right. So they still got Mike Evans over there, and Baker Mayfield had a stellar season. Will he be able to repeat that kind of success? Who knows? Tampa Bay only won 8 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can the Falcons win more than 8 games with Kirk Cousins? I believe so. So I think that was a big move for a team that ultimately won't matter in the end of the day, but they'll make the playoffs. It'll make them relevant. And I kind of look at them as when LeBron James went to the Lakers with Lonzo Ball on the team and a bunch of young players with an old veteran that will make them better. Not that Kirk Cousins, LeBron, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even close, but it's that type of style where you bring in a veteran leader who will actually use Kyle Pitts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where has that guy been? He's never getting the ball. He'll get the ball. You know what I mean? So they're going to be an exciting, fun team to watch for that one reason. All of these young skill position players, like you were saying, that were very hyped coming in when they were drafted, are finally going to have a time to shine.
Yeah, and I'm honestly my favorite thing that they did this year was fire Arthur Smith, because he was about to waste the last 3 years of Falcons first round picks by making them just block every time, and that's not why you picked them. So there are definitely better blockers out there, but they're explosive playmakers, and that's how they should be used. So the fact that they now have a new coaching staff and Arthur Smith is gone in Pittsburgh, should I say, with Russell Wilson, which
good luck,
Russell. Good luck, Pittsburgh. Justin Fields is going to be starting for you guys by the end of the year. I don't care what the reports say. I'm a Denver fan. Trust me. But so it's going to make a big difference for the Falcons. New quarterback, new head coach. You're finally going to get to see what you have been envisioning for the last 3 seasons.
Yeah, and it's exciting, right? It's an exciting move. They didn't make a bad move. It's not like Kirk Cousins is bad.
No, just a little too much money.
Too much money, but who else are you going to get?
Yeah.
I think you might as well keep your young star players happy. And Kirk Cousins is going to turn Drake London into a 100 yard receiver. That's just what he does with every number one receiver he has, a la Justin Jefferson, a la Stephon Diggs. He gets them the ball. He feeds his playmakers. So it's going to be a fun team to watch.
And actually, kind of just transitioning a little bit, what did you think about Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh? I know I kind of said, I think's going to happen, but what do you think that's going to look like for Pittsburgh?
Well, we were both right. So I called Fields going to Pittsburgh, Justin Fields. I didn't see both of them going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
If Russell Wilson plays, it'll improve their offense slightly.
Yeah, he's been promised as the starter, so.
I think he's better than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
By much? Probably not.
He's better than Pickett.
So, I don't hate it. And they got him for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather see Fields. I'd rather see a younger quarterback who's more explosive get a chance to play in a competent organization. But they're going to win 9-10 games, either squeeze right into the playoffs or just barely miss it.
Yep.
It's not going to, you know, give them any significant upgrade from last year. So,
yeah,
they're more the same from Pittsburgh.
The biggest win for them was the fact that they got Russ for that kind of contract. Because let's be honest, even though Russ probably isn't the best starter at this point in his career, any team would love to have him for the minimum as a backup, at least. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He'd be one of the best backups in the league, no question about it, right? Because he's still a starter level type of player if you were to name out all the quarterbacks. But at the same time, I mean, Arthur Smith is now their offensive coordinator. Even though Mike Tomlin's a fantastic coach, I mean, Matt Canada was a crappy offensive coordinator and he got fired. And now they're bringing in another offensive coach. I mean, to be fair, he does like to run the ball a lot. So more of just kind of what they did last year. But with Russ, who is better than Kenny Pickett, and I actually think he's a little more than slightly better than Kenny Pickett, but not enough to make a big difference for Pittsburgh at the same time. And like I said, I ultimately think Justin Fields will end up starting for them by the end of the year. I don't know if Russ will be able to make it through the whole season without upsetting people. Just because he can only play a certain way, and he's not and he's not as athletic as he used to be. So if they're not running him out of the pocket and having him throw deep shots, or he's having fumbling problems like he did last year, if he's not taking care of the ball, which he did better at last year, but bad in his first year, like there's a lot that can still go wrong here for him. You know, maybe he bounces back, but I'm not confident in it. I see Justin Fields getting that chance and becoming the long-term guy in Pittsburgh. I mean, you really liked him there. And I like him there for the same reasons, just being in Pittsburgh for a young guy who has a lot of talent already. Russ is on the downturn and Fields feels like he's on his upturn still. So it's kind of what I'm thinking about Pittsburgh.
They're one of the teams that didn't necessarily get any better.
Yeah, very similar.
So in that way, that makes them a little bit worse, I guess. Because they didn't actually improve. Another team that you could point out is Dallas. They let Tony Pollard go, which kind of shocked me. Pollard had a good year, but I guess running backs don't matter.
They have 5'7". Well, it kind of matter because they have 5'7" little Deuce Vaughn as their RB1 right now. So, and I don't know if he's an RB1, like that kind of bell cow. Dallas was the one team that did absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I think when I was looking at their free agency moves, I saw 4 moves on that list, and none of them were of any really real importance, all kind of small fringe moves. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're looking for. I know Dak is kind of on the hot seat, and I think this might be his last contract year in Dallas. So that might be what they're thinking of, leaning towards a rebuild and letting him walk. But they didn't do anything to get better.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember when they got spanked by Green Bay in the playoffs? We hopped on a pod, and this video never ended up making it out because Jerry Jones adamantly said that Mike McCarthy was going to be our head coach next year. But we were speculating, you know, Belichick to Dallas. You know, Jim Harbaugh, who now is coaching for the San Diego Chargers. Just kidding, LA Chargers. They'll always be San Diego in my heart. Is this a move by Jerry to basically just get everyone out? Like, all right, Dak, if you can't win a freaking playoff game, you're gone. Mike McCarthy, I already called up Bill. He wants to come coach the Dallas Cowboys. Is he really just kind of setting up his team for failure so that he can start from scratch?
I don't think he's necessarily setting them up for failure, but he's giving them a chance to run it back, essentially, and saying, hey, guys, if you're going to do it, this is going to be the year you're going to do it, or it's not happening here. Because let's be honest, if they don't win a playoff game this year, even if they do win just one playoff game this year, Dak might not be back. Mike McCarthy might be back. You know, you have Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick who are going to be coaching options for you. Dak's money is going to be off the books, $40+ million. So, I mean, you can either trade up in the draft and get a QB you like. You know, maybe you like Sanders from Colorado. I'm sure his dad would love that after saying no cold weather cities. But, you know, they might be getting ready to clear house if it doesn't work this year. This might be their last ditch effort to try to make something happen in Dallas.
Yeah, it's surprising. It's just surprising Dallas did absolutely nothing. Yeah. It's Dallas, for crying out loud.
They're
the LA Lakers of the freaking NFL. You know what I mean? So just a little bit surprising. But all in all, we can both agree this was one of the most entertaining NFL free agencies that I've ever seen.
Not even close, dude. It reminded me a lot more of the NBA free agency. And it's never been like that as far back as I can remember. I mean, I'm not that old, but I don't remember this ever happening to this kind of level with this news and these names being moved like this.
Yep, me neither. Can't wait for September.
Absolutely. Football season is definitely going to be a good one. Don't forget, if you guys like what you hear here, don't forget to check out our pod on Spotify or subscribe to our YouTube video. We have long and short videos on there, whichever you are interested in. And we want to thank everyone who tuned in and have a good one. Until next time.